Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Lamed Aleph. Again, for those listening online, this is Elisha Graf. The rabbi is on the West Coast for the weekend, so we will have the opportunity to learn together today through Sunday. Today's shiur is sponsored anonymously L'Zchus Refuah Shleima for Gittel Bas Miral, and today's shiur is also sponsored by Michelle and Josh Prero L'Zchus Refuah Shleima for Michelle's father, Mordechai Yaakov ben Esther, who is undergoing a very important procedure this morning. So we hope the schus of our learning serves as a refuah shleima, schus for refuah shleima for both of these cholim, as well as Shar Chole Yisrael. The rabbi left off yesterday, concluding by reading the Mishnah that is towards the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. And we had seen a Mishnah about various motions that are okay for Shechita or that possible by Shechita. We spoke about specifically a case where a guy shechts two animals in one motion, or if a person is shechting and actually chops off two heads together, how large the knife has to be. And what we had seen yesterday was that there's a problem of chalada, there's a problem of drisa. In other words, the shechita motion has to be made with a smooth cutting motion, a smooth slicing motion, and it's not supposed to be made by pressing or by burrowing or by cutting jaggedly. So today we're really going to focus on two topics. The first topic, from the Gemara until the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, is going to talk about the various motions that are okay for Shechita. Along the way, we're going to talk about the requirement of Kisei Adam and see some interesting aspects of the requirement of Kisei Adam. And then when we get to the Mishnah, in the middle of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, going all the way, and then the Gemara is going to continue the discussion all the way until the end of the Daf, until Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the idea of Kavana by Shechita. And specifically, when we talk about Kavana by Shechita, we're going to be comparing Shechita to Tvila and a Mikvah. And the Rishonim point out the reason that we do that is because both Tvila b'mikvah as well as Shechita serve as a matir, that once you do the mitzvah, if you want to call it a mitzvah, even as a machlokas, whether Shechita is a mitzvah, but once you do the act, you become mutter to do other things. For example, once you shecht an animal, it is mutter to then eat the animal. Once you go to the mikvah, you become tar and you're able to eat Meiser or something like that. So if you're a Nida, then you're Mutter Levaila. So they're both Matir. We're going to talk about the concept of Kavana by Shechita, Kavana by Mikvah, whether you have to have Kavana actually to Shecht, whether you only actually have to have Kavana to do a cutting motion. So we'll see all that discussion. Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, carrying over to Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So let's pick up again where the rabbi left off, which is at the Gemara. On the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis, says the Gemara like this, Minani Mili, how do we know that Shechita has to be done with a smooth motion, and that if you press, if you do drisa, then it is pasul for Shechita? So Amar Shmuel, Demar Kra, because we have a pasuk, Chetz Shachot Lashonam, a sharpened, Chetz Shachot Lashonam Mir Madiber, that a sharpened arrow, their tongue is speaking falsehood. And Rashi says, how do we see over here that this means that that you need a slicing motion, that it has to be a smooth, that it's got to be a smooth motion? And Rashi says, Chet Shachot, this is four lines up for the bottom, Ma Chet Halachas B'mishicha, just like the arrow, the flight of the arrow is smooth, Af Shechita B'mishicha, also the motion by a Shechita has to be b'mashicha. It's got to be with a smooth slicing motion. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, so says de Rabbi Shmuel, v'shachat ein v'shachat ela u'mashach, that when it says v'shachat, v'shachat means that it's got to be with a slicing motion. V'chein u'omer, and similarly it says in the pasuk, zav shachut, that it's made with drawn out gold. V'omer, and it also says in the pasuk, chetz shachut l'shona mirma diber. That's the pasuk that we had just quoted. So says the Gemara, my v'omer, why do I need both of these sources, both sources to tell me that the shechita has got to be b'mashicha, that it has to be with a smooth slicing motion? Says the Gemara, v'chitei mazov shachut, zov shachut doesn't mean smooth, it doesn't mean b'mashicha. All that means is, shenitve kechut, that lets you think that shachut is really a contraction, shachut shenitve kechut, that it's spun thread. So tashma chetz shachut l'shonam. So therefore we have the pasuk as a backup of chetz shachut l'shonam, that the arrow, it's comparing the arrow and shachut. It says obviously the allusion to the word shchita in the pasuk, just like the arrow flies through the air and it's in a smooth slicing motion. So to the shchita knife, when you shecht, has got to move in a smooth slicing motion. So says the Gemara now as follows. Rava, Havibadak Legira, now that we mentioned an arrow in regard to shchita, so the Gemara tells us that Rava would check an arrow, l'Rabiona bar Tachlifa, for Rabiona bar Tachlifa, v'shachat ba ofa bahadei de parach. And he would basically take archery practice, and he would go skeet shooting, and he would shoot birds with an arrow. He would check the birds with an arrow while the birds were in flight. So it says the Gemara of Adilma Avid Chalada. Maybe it's going to do Chalada. In other words, maybe instead of the arrow slicing the neck of the bird with a smooth motion, it's going to burrow underneath the skin and it's going to tear the pipes. And we said that Chalada is one of the types of psulim by Shechita. There were five psulim that we learn, Halacha Moshe Misinai, Chalada being one of them. So how can you shecht when the bird is flying up in the air? Maybe it's going to do Chalada. Maybe it's going to be a bad Shechita, says the Gemara. Chazinan gidfi de pirmi. No, we see that the feathers were sliced. In other words, the bird, when it's killed, falls out of the sky, obviously. And when the bird falls to the ground, we're able to check the incision. And if the feathers are sliced evenly, we know that there was no burrowing, that it was actually a smooth slice, bimeshicha, and therefore was a kasher shchita. Says the Gemara of Aboy Kisui, the blood of the bird requires kisui adam. So how can you shech the bird when the bird's in flight? It's a cute idea, but you have to cover the blood. So says the Gemara, what's the problem? Okay, so you shoot the bird with an arrow. The bird drops dead. It's on the ground. There's some blood on the ground in the vicinity of the bird carcass, and you then cover the blood. Not a problem, says the Gemara. V'yamar Rav Zeira, Amarav. I says Rav Zeira in the name of Rav Ashoche, Tzorech Sheitein Ofer Lamata. The offer lamala, that when you do kisei adam, it's not enough to cover the blood on top with dirt. You have to prepare dirt on the ground. And why would you have to put dirt on the ground? The ground obviously is made of dirt. What you have to do is you have to put offer tichuach. You have to put soft dirt on the ground, then the blood on top of that, then dirt on top of the blood. So you require offer lamata vi offer lamala shenemar v'chiseyu be'offer, that you have to cover it be'in offer, offer lo nemar, not v'chiseyu offer, which would imply that you just cover it with dirt. You have to envelop it in dirt. Ela be'offer malame shashoche tzorch sheitein offer lamata vi offer lamala. So, one big question mark. How was he able to shecht the bird while the bird was in flight? You have to do kisei adam, and don't tell me that it's enough to put dirt on the place where the blood was eventually, because you require dirt underneath. And how in the world do you know where to put the dirt if you're taking targa? I mean, your aim might be good, but you don't know exactly where the bird's going to fall, where the blood's going to be, says the Gemara. Not such a problem. De mezamen le la'afar de kuli piska. What you do is your mezamen, you prepare the dirt in the entire valley where you're taking targa practice by putting the loose dirt there, and therefore you're going to have your afar lamata. Then you're going to kill the bird. Then you're going to put afer lamala, not a problem. And you know the shechita is good because you're going to check the feathers and you're going to see that they're sliced nicely. So says the Gemara, says Rashi rather. So what does it mean? The mezamnin leil afer to kuli piska. This is in the first skinny line. Afer kol abika haya masia v'kotesh. Either you would crush up all of the afer in the valley, so you would physically prepare it by making it loose dirt. Oh, shahaya ofer tikuach umezamno bepela lakach. Or says Rashi Yechidish, let's say the dirt that was in the valley was already fit for kisui. Why? Because it was already crushed up. It was already soft. What you would do is you would be mezamin it bepeh for this purpose. In other words, you would do a hazmana bepeh. You would designate this. Earth as being fit for Kisui Hadam. Tosfos argues, this is later in the Masechta, that you don't require hazmana bepeh, that the only type of hazmana is a practical hazmana. If the dirt is hard, then you have to crush it up. You have to make it soft. If the dirt is already soft, then there's no further hazmana that is required as hazmana bepeh. So the Beis Halevi tries to explain the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos with respect to, is the dirt on the bottom a halacha? Is it part of the chelek of the mitzvah of Kisei Adam? Or is it merely a prerequisite in order to perform the mitzvah of Kisei, which is really putting the dirt on top? So if you want to say that the dirt on the bottom is part of the mitzvah, then it's like Rashi says, and that's why it requires hazmana bepeh. Even if the dirt's already there, because it's not enough that it's already there, you actually have to designate it as part of the mitzvah because you're doing it as part of the mitzvah. Whereas if you want to say that the dirt on the bottom is only a prerequisite for putting dirt on top of the blood, that it's sort of a necessary predicate to performance of the mitzvah, but it's not part of the mitzvah itself, then you would hold like Tosfos, and therefore it does not require a hazmana bepeh. The Achronim also argue, or the Rishonim rather, argue about whether the Nusach HaBracha of for Kisei Adam is Al Kisei Dam Be'ofar or Al Kisei Dam. So, and similarly, they want to explain that, or if it's Al Kisei Dam Ofar, and similarly, they want to explain that the Machlokes, whether the Nusach HaBracha is Al Kisei Dam Ofar or Be'ofar, depends on whether you hold that the blood on the bottom is part of the Chelek Mea mitzvah, or part of the chelek mea mitzvah, or not. So this might have a practical nafkamina in terms of A, whether the dirt on the bottom requires hazmana, B, what the nusach habracha is, whether you're going to reference the layer on the bottom, depending on whether the layer on the bottom is actually part of the mitzvah. So says the Gemara Navaiter, back in the Gemara, Hayeshochet veheites, at the two dots, if a person was shechting with a slicing motion, and he chopped off that of the animal. Some Rabbi Zeira, molei tzavra v'chutz letzavra. So what we had said was that the shear of a knife, if you just want to do it with one motion and you don't want to slice back and forth, is the knife has to be as wide as the width of the animal's neck, plus molei tzavra, plus another measure on the blade that is the width of the animal's neck. So Iboilu, Molei Tzavar, V'chutz Letzavar, K'molei Tzavar. So what do you mean to tell me that it's got to be as wide as the neck of the animal plus? Does it mean that it has to be as wide as the neck of the animal to fit or at the neck of the animal, obviously, plus then additional length of the blade that is the same length? In other words, the length of the width of the blade has to, the length of the blade has to be the width of the neck of the animal times two. Because one of the widths of the neck you're obviously going to use to slice, and then the other one you just need extra blade because you're doing it just in one motion and you're not going back and forth. Davilu treitz avari, which is basically the equivalent of saying the knife has to be as long as two times the width of the neck of the animal. O dilma molei tzavra v'chutz letzavra mashu. Or are we saying that the or are we saying that the blade only has to be as long as molei tzavra, which is the width of the animal's neck, plus a little tiny bit extra? So says the Gemara, let's bring a raya. Tashma, hayashochet vitiz shnei rashim abasachas. One of the cases in the Mishnah was where you were shechting and you actually cut off two heads at once. Im yesh lasakin molei tzavor echad, kosher. And what we had said was that if the sakin has, if the blade length of the sakin has molei tzavor echad, the width of another neck of the animal, then it's going to be kosher. So my molei tzavor echad, what does it mean in the Mishnah when it talks about the length of the blade having molei tzavor echad? Ilema molei tzavor echad v'sulo. If you wanted to say it was literally molei tzavor echad, that the length of the blade was like the width of the neck of the animal. Hasha bebeim achas bina molei tzavor v'chutz letzavor. B'shtei beim esagilei k'molei tzavor echad. Time out. When you're shechting one animal, it says that the length of the blade's got to be k'molei tzavor v'chutz. And now when I'm shechting two animals, you're going to tell me that the blade only has to be k'molei tzavor, and that means as wide as one neck? That doesn't make sense. In that case, the length of the blade, that's needed for shechting two animals is shorter than the length of the blade that's needed for shechting one animal, which makes zero sense, says the Gemara. So says the Gemara Viter, so Ela Pshita, Mole Tzavar, Chutz L'Shnei Tzavarim. Shmamina, Mole Tzavar, Chutz L'Tzavar, Shmamina. So what it means is that however much space you need on the blade to shecht, that depends on how many animals you're shechting at one time. If you're shechting one animal, it's got to be, the blade has got to be long enough so that it is the equivalent of the width of the neck of the animal plus one other neck of the animal width. And if you're shechting two animals, then the length of the blade has got to be the width of two animal necks plus one animal neck width extra. And again, the reason is because we have to make sure that the blade is long enough. Again, we're all talking about where a guy just wants to do shechita in one motion, and he doesn't want to do molech umevi. He doesn't want to bring the knife back to him, so he doesn't want to slice. He just wants to cut once. So when you're cutting the animal, you have to make sure that the length of the knife is such that you could just slice the entire neck of the animal with one smooth motion and make sure that you sever both simanim with one slicing motion. And then the Gemara now clarifies what we've been saying. Bamedvar mamurim is man sheholech v'lo evi. When do we require the knife to be this long? We only need a blade this long. That's when you're going to be molech v'lo mevi. However, if you're going to be molech v'mevi, if you're going to do a slicing motion, then you could shecht even with a tiny knife, you could shecht even with a scalpel. So I'm a Rav Menashe, and so when we specifically mentioned in the Mishnah that you could shecht be'izemel, you can shecht with a scalpel. And Rav Menashe says in the Gemara, so I'm a Rav Menashe, be'izemel she'en lo karnayim. We're talking about an izemel that doesn't have horns. What does it mean, doesn't have horns? Rashi explains, d'regilim o yulasos kamin karnayim li'zamlin linoy al gabeyim. They would make like a decorative pocket knife, has like a fancy handle. They would make like a handle for the scalpel with a horn at the end of the scalpel. And what we're afraid is when you're shechting with a scalpel is a ridiculous instrument to shecht with because the neck of the animal is big, the scalpel is tiny. So we're afraid that when you're manipulating the scalpel around the neck of the animal, it's going to slip. And it's going to slip. And now what we're afraid is that instead of cutting the neck with a tiny blade of the scalpel, you might actually be performing some of the shechita with the horn that's protruding from the handle of the scalpel. And if that were the case, then you would have a problem because the horn doesn't slice, the horn rips, or maybe we're afraid that you're going to burrow underneath into the neck of the animal and get at the simanim that way. And therefore, the izemel that we're talking about is only an izemel without karnayim. How about other tiny implements that are really ridiculous to shecht with? But what if you were willing to sit there all day in a slicing motion? Is that okay? So machta mai, can you shecht with a needle? Samarlei machta mevazva vaza. No, a needle definitely is going to tear the simanim. It's not going to slice the simanim. The reason being that a needle is only sharp in the point. The sides of the needle are not sharp, and therefore it's obviously you're going to tear it by stabbing it, but you're not going to slice it. So says the Gemara now, machta de ushpechi mai. How about the needle of a leather worker? How about that sort of needle? So what's the issue with the needle of a leather worker? Why should that be different than a regular needle? So Rashi explains, because the needle of a leather worker was used to make cuts in leather, and it was sharp not only at its tip, but it was sharp also on its sides. And since it was sharp also on its sides, effectively it's like a tiny knife. So it says the Gemara, Amalei Tanina, filu kolshu. So we say in the Mishnah that you could shecht even with something that's the size of a kolshu. It could be ridiculously small and you could still shecht with it. So my love, machta dushpechi, aren't we referring to a needle of leather workers that even though it's so tiny, you're still allowed to shecht with it? Says the Gemara, lo, izemel. No, what it means is that you're allowed to shecht with an izemel, with a scalpel. But izemel behed yuktani. But izemel is said explicitly in the Mishnah. So why would you tell me that I'm allowed to shecht with something even that's a kol shehu, and then also expressly tell me in the Mishnah izemel? So says the Gemara, prusha kamafaresh. No, because the izemel is not an example. The izemel is not something separate. Izemel is the example of shechting even with a kolshu. Why? So my kolshu is emel. What do I mean when I tell, when the Mishnah tells me that I'm allowed to shecht with anything? It means that I'm even allowed to shecht with a scalpel. Zachinam mistaber, and it's mistaber like that. If you wanted to tell me that I actually was able to shecht with a leather worker's needle, hashta machta dushpachi sharia izemel mi boy. If you're going to tell me that I'm allowed to shecht with even something as tiny as a needle, is it really a chiddush? Does the Mishnah really have to tell me explicitly that I'm allowed to shecht with a scalpel? The scalpel is more substantive than the needle. It's got more heft and it's larger than the needle. Says the Gemara, yes, we do need to teach me specifically izemel. Izemel is tzurchalei. I need the Mishnah to teach me izemel. Why sal kadayta chamina ligzer izemel shein lo karnayim atu izemel sheyesh lo karnayim. I might think that we should be gozer, that an izemel is puzzle for shechita, period. Why? Because what we just said in the Gemara, that if the Zemel has a horn in the back of the handle, then it's going to be bad, because then we're afraid you're actually going to tear or you're going to burrow. So I might think that we have to be gozer all these Zemels, lest you come to shecht with an Zemel that has karnayim in the back of the handle. So kamash malon, no, that I'm not going to be gozer and aser all these Zemels on account of an Zemel with a horn on the back of the handle. Only that type of Zemel is going to be puzzle for shechita. But an izemel without the decorative horn on the handle is going to be kosher for shechita. Okay, says the next mission. Now we're going to talk about the concept of kavana by shechita and kavana by tvila. So says the mission as follows: Nafla sakin, if the knife fell, and the Meiri says that we're talking about where the knife fell without any koach ha'adam at all, that the guy had no contributing force applied to the knife. So the knife just fell, v'shachta, and happens to shecht an animal perfectly. Afal pi sheshachta kedarka, psula. Even though it's a shechita kedarka, everything is kosher, it's wonderful, still going to be pasul. Why? Shenemar v'zavachta v'yachalta. Ma sha'ata zaveach ata ochel. What you shecht, you're allowed to eat. Meaning that you require koach gavra, you require actually the exertion of some force while you're shechting. And if the knife is stam sitting on the, you know, on the knife rack, and then it just falls, and it shechts an animal, that's not good, because that's not called vizavachta. That's not called that you are contributing at all to the shechita. So the Gemara picks up right away on this diuk. Taima denafla. The reason that the shechita is invalid is because the knife just fell spontaneously. Ha hi pilahu. However, if the guy threw the knife down, so there was a koach gavra, then ksheira v'alfa gavdalo mechavin, then it's going to be kosher, even though he didn't have kavana for a shechita. In other words, let's just say the guy threw the knife and it happened to go right through the neck of the animal and it shechted a kosher or shechita. That would be fine because it came b'koach gavra, even though there was no kavana. Now, mantana d'lobina kavana l'shechita. Who is the man d'amar who says that you do not require kavana for shechita? Amarava Rabbi Nasani. It's Rabbi Nasan. How do we know? D'tanya oshaya zira d'min chavraya, because it says oshaya zira d'min chavraya zarak sakin l'notza b'kotel. He threw a knife. He was doing the axe throwing that the rabbi mentioned a couple of weeks ago. So he was throwing a knife in order to stick the blade into a wall. V'yolcha v'shachta kedarka. And lo and behold, an animal traipsed right in front of the path of the knife. And the knife, when it was being hurled at the wall, did a shechita kedarka. So Rabbi Nosson machshir. Rabbi Nosson says it's a kosher shechita. V'chachamim poslin. And the chachamim say that it's pasul. So why does Rav Nosson say it's kosher? Obviously, because you don't need kavana for shechita. As long as the knife came mekoach gavra, it's going to be enough. So says the Gemara, who tani lavu amar la halacha k'Rav Nosson. And then he learned the brisa, and then he said explicitly that halacha is like Rav Nosson, that shechita does not require kavana l'shem shechita. But why do you have to teach me that the halacha is like Rav Nosson, that shechita doesn't require kavana? You already told me this halacha one time, ditnan, because we learn, v'kulam sheshachatu, and all of them who shecht, what does it mean, all of them? Rashi says it means a chereshot of a katan. So if you have a chereshot of a katan who is a lav bardas, v'acherim roenoso, and other people who are Balei Das are standing and looking at the Shechita, Shechitas and Kshera, then the Shechita is going to be kosher. V'amrinan, man Tana, delo boy, Kavana l'Shechita, who is the Tana who does not require Kavana l'Shechita? V'yama Rava, Rabbi Nosani, and Rava says, it's Rabbi Nosan. So, why do you need to teach me over here and over there by Shechitas Kharashot v'Kata, and that the Halacha is like Rabbi Nosan, who does not require Kavana for Shechita? Says the Gemara, Tzricha, because we need both cases. The Ashmin and Asam, if you only wanted to teach me the Halacha over there, Bishum the Kamakavin Lishum Chaticha Biolam. Because over there, it could be the Chereshot of a Kata doesn't have Das to Shecht, but they definitely intend to cut. At least they intend to cut. Aval Halchad Lo Kamakavin Emelo. But over here, you're taking target practice. You're intending to throw the knife into the wall. You're not intending even to cut anything. V'yashminan achan, if you want to say over here, mishum tekasi mikoach ben das, because over here, you're right, I'm lacking in the kavana, and that I don't even have kavana to cut, but at least the guy who is creating the force, which is leading to the shechita, is a ben das, aval hasam dolo kasi mikoach ben das, emelo. But over there, where the force is being applied by somebody who's not a ben das, I might think the opposite. Tzricha, therefore, we need to teach me that halacha is like Rabbi Nosson in both cases. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Nida Shenensa. Now, as we said in the introduction to the shir, we're going to compare Shechita to Tvila, because just as Shechita is a matir, and that it permits the person to eat the meat that was shechted, so to Tvila is a matir, if you're being matir from Tumah, it permits you to eat Meiser. If you're a coin, it permits you to eat Truma. If you're a Nida, it permits you to have relations with your husband. It's also a matir. So Itmar, so we have a following case. Nida Shenensa, Vitavla, a Nida who mistakenly or accidentally is Tovel. So we have to wait all the way until the end of Amud Beis. We'll see if we get to it today to find out exactly what the onus was, how it came out that the woman was Nensa and was Tavla, but the woman went into the mikvah and didn't necessarily intend to go into the mikvah. So Amar Rav Yud Amar Rav Tahora Labesa, she is Tahora Labesa. It's a nice way of saying she's mutter to have relations with her husband. The Asura Lechol Betruma. And it is usur for her to eat. It is usur for her to eat Truma. Now, says Rashi over here that Tamei Shachal Truma B'Misa B'Dei Shemayim, that a Tamei person who eats Truma is punished with Misa B'Dei Shemayim B'Eloein Anisraf, and that we learn in Maseches Sanhedrin. And a woman who's a Nida, who has relations with her husband, is Chayiv Kares. So, and Rashi points out, V'kares chomer mimisa, kares is more chomer than misa b'dei shemayim, the yom of nechrasim v'zaro nechras, k'dechsiv arirum yiyu, as it says in the Pasuk, arirum yiyu. So Rashi is pointing out that in the scheme of punishments, kares is a worse punishment than misa b'dei shemayim, because misa b'dei shemayim stam means that the perpetrator of the avera dies. Kares means that the person dies and his or her offspring die. So, if you have an Avera which is punishable by Kares, and an Avera which is punishable by Misa B'dei Shemayim, it stands to reason that the Avera that's punishable by Kares is a more Chomer Avera, because Kares is a more Chomer Onesh than Misa B'dei Shemayim. So, yet, over here it said that if the woman is Tovel, Be'ones, then she's Tar Labesa, so she's okay for her husband, so there is no Chiyav Kares, so the Chiyav Kares is gone, but she's not allowed to eat Truma. But the Isser that is only punishable by Yemisa B'dei Shemayim, that's not going to be gone. So that's Rav. So that's Rav Yudam Rav. Rav Yochanan argues, Rav Yochanan says, Af Labesa Lo Tara, it's invalid. It's invalid as a tefillah. She's not even Tara for her husband. Amarle Rav Rav Nachman, so says Rav to Rav Nachman, L'Rav D'Yamar Torah L'Beis of Asura Lechol B'Truma. According to Rav, who says that she's mutter to have relations with her husband, but she's still usher to eat Truma, so Avon Kares Hutra Isser Misa Mibai, how does this work? That the tefillah is good enough to remove the Isser for an Avon Kares, which is the most chamer, but for the Avon of the Misa B'Dei Shemayim, which is less chamer than Kares, it's not going to remove the Isser? Makes no sense. So Amarle, Baile Chulenu, it's not a question of the chumrah of the isser. It's a question of, is the isser an isser of chulin or an isser of kodshim? So the baal is considered to be chulin, and chulin does not require kavana. In other words, The tefillah, if the purpose of the tefillah is to permit you to indulge in something that is chulin, it doesn't need kavana. And what did we said? We're talking about a case where the woman is tovel accidentally. She's not having kavana. So if you're tovel without kavana for chulin, which doesn't require kavana, the tefillah is going to work. For kachim, like truma or meiser that requires kavana, that tefillah is not going to work. Says the Gemara, umina temra, and how do we know this? Titnan, because we learn in a Mishnah, gal shenitlash, if you have, let's say you're at the seashore and you're watching the waves crash against the seashore, and then there's a huge wave, shenitlash, which separates from the ocean, ubar abayim sa. And there were 40 saw of water, which is the shir mikvah, obviously, in the wave, and nafala adam vala kalim, and it falls on a person and on his kalim, tohrim, then that is enough to purify them. So my love, adam dumya de kalim, so doesn't this mean that the person is like the kalim, ma kalim de lo miskavni, just like the kalim, which obviously don't have kavanah, because kalim are inanimate objects, af adam nami lo boy kavanah, so too the guy doesn't require kavanah l'shem tvila, yet he is still tar. Says the Gemara, Mimai, Dilma Biyoshev Mitzapa Askinan. How do you know the guy doesn't have kavana? Maybe we're talking about where the guy is sitting on the beach and he's enjoying himself in the sunshine, and he's also saying, I wonder when the wave is going to separate and the wave's going to have our barm saw, which is the sheer mikvah, so that the wave water can crash over me and be mitarami. Me. Same as Ayit Lashagal, he's waiting for the wave to come. So says the guy, flipping over to Lamed Aleph Amabez, the Kalim Dumya to Adam, and maybe the case is where the Kalim is Dumya to Adam. Ma Adam Dabin and Kavana, Av Kalim Nami, to Kamechavin La Adam. Just like the Adam requires Kavana in order for it to be a Kasher Tvila, so too he must have Kavana that he wants the Kalim to become Tar as well. So says the Gemara, V'chitim Abiyoshi V'mitzapem Maila Memra, if you want to tell me that what's the chiddush then? If the guy's Yoshev and Mitzapa, the guy's mamish having kavana to be mitayer, and there's 40 saw of water coming over him. So what's the chiddush? Of course he's tar. Says the Gemara, ma detei maligzer mishum chardalei. I might think that we have to be gozer on account of a torrent of rainwater that comes down a mountain to chardalei shel geshamim. And Rashi points out that a chardalei shel geshamim is not going to be mitayer, even if there is 40 saw. So, for example, sometimes in Israel in the desert, when there's a lot of rain, there's like a flash flood and the water comes down torrentially. In such a situation, even if you're standing there and there's 40 saw of water, it's not going to be good. Why? Rashi says, because the water comes down with such force that there's never 40 saw of water in the same spot. So I might think that you can't be tovel for Tahira in a wave, lest you come to be tovel in the torrent of rainwater that's coming down the mountain if you're brave enough to stand in front of it, or inami ligzer rushen atu kipin, or we should be gozer the head of the wave atu the crest of the wave, the arch of the wave, and obviously if you're under the arch of the wave then the water is not actually hitting you, so it's very dangerous to be tovel in waves basically, because it's very easy to miss the spot where the 40 saw is. Kamash blan to the logazrinan. So kamash blan, that's the chiddush, that we're not gozer. Now, but we don't see from here that you don't require kavana. It could be that you do require kavana. But says the Gemara, it takes a little detour. Now, how do we know that you're not allowed to be tovel on the arch of the wave? You just said maybe we should be gozer, that you can't be tovel on the head of the wave, lest you come to be tovel on the arch of the wave. How do you know that you're not allowed to be tovel on the arch of the wave? Titnan, because we have a Mishnah, that you're allowed to be tovel on the head of the wave, but not in the arch of the wave, because you're not allowed to be tovel ba'avir in the air. So says the Gemara, now back to what we started with originally. So you wanted to tell me that if the woman accidentally goes into the mikvah, then she's not able to eat kachim, because kachim require kavana, but she is mutter labayla, because her baal is chulin, and chulin doesn't require kavana. How do I know that? Ditnan, because we have another Mishnah. Peirush enaflu l'toch amas hamayim. Peirush that fall into a river. Now, one thing about peirush, about food generally, is in order to become tameh, food requires hechsher lekabel tumah. It requires a hechsher. Hechsher means it has to become wet with one of the Zion mashkin. One of the Zion mashkin is water, but it has to be the chiyutan dumya de chiyitin. It has to be an intentional becoming wet, or a becoming wet that the guy is pleased with. So let's remember that. So, Perush naflu toch hamas hamayim, if you have Perush that fell into a river, upashat misha yad of tmeos, and a guy whose hands were tamei sticks his hands into the river, v'notlon, and he takes them out, say yad of tahoros, so his hands are tar, presumably because you don't require any kavana when you're dipping your hands into the mikvah, uperos in a b'chiyutan. And the peros are not b'chiyutan because he didn't have any ratzon that the peros should fall into the water at all, and therefore this is not considered to be mukshar l'kabal toma. V'im b'shvil sheyaduchu, if when the guy stuck his hands into the river, he intended that he wanted to rinse his hands and purify them, v'im b'shvil sheyaduchu yadav ta'oros uperos b'chiyutan, then his hands are going to be tar, and the peros are b'chiyutan. Why? Because the guy, when he sticks his hands into the water, shows that he wants to be in the water, because he wants to be metar his hands. Therefore, it's a gloy milsa that he likes the fact that the peros are there. He doesn't really need the peros to be wet. But Sarashi points out that this is the type of scenario where the sofos mochiach al tchiloso, that you're right, he doesn't need the peros to be in the water. But the final analysis is he's happy about it because it provides a siba for him to stick his hands into the water and be matired. So here's how we know. So this was how we know that by chulin it does not require kavana. So Eisvei Ravel Rav Nachman. So Rav asked the kasha to Rav Nachman. Tovel lechulin. If you were tovel for chulin, v'huchzuk lechulin. In other words, that you had kavana at the shas tvila that it should be mitar you for chulin. Aser lemeiser. Then you're not allowed to eat meiser because you didn't have the proper kavana in the tvila. Huchzuk in lo huchzuk lo. Ah, wait. But doesn't it mean that in order even to eat chulin, you require huchzuk, you require some sort of kavana? Says the Gemara, hachi kamar, no diuk. Afal pi shuchzuk lechulin asur lemeiser. The chiddush is that even if you add kavana that it should work for chulin, it's still not going to work for meiser. But in a chenami, for chulin itself, it doesn't require kavana at all. So no raya from there. Eisvei would try again. Tovel v'lo huchzuk, if you were tovel and you didn't have any kavana, ki'ilu lo tovel, it's as if you weren't tovel at all. My lav ki'ilu lo tovel klal, doesn't it mean, like I explained it, that it's as if you're not tovel at all? Lo ki'ilu lo tovel a meiser, it's as if you weren't tovel for meiser, because for kachrim it requires kavana, aval tovel a chulenu, however, but it is a good tvila for a chulen. Savar d'chuyah d'chamad chinalei, he thought that he was just being difficult and was just trying to dispel and beat back all of these rayas, nafak dok veshkach, but then he found a brisa like this, Tatanya. Tovel v'lo huchzuk, if you were tovel and you had no kavana at all, mutter l'chulin, it's mutter for chulin, v'asur l'maiser, and it's asur to eat maiser. So because, but for chulin, it does not require kavana. So Rav Yosef, le'matavi tuftel di Rav Yochanan. So why don't we say that this is a tuftel to Rav Yochanan? Because Rav Yochanan had said on the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, that where the woman was forced into the tefillah, into the mikvah by accident, she wasn't even mutter for her husband. So why would you not be mutter for a husband? Because she didn't require kavana. But all these rayas show me that for chulin it does not require kavana. So Amar Le Rav Yochanan. So Amar Le. So says the Gemara. Amar Le Rav Yochanan. Who the Amar Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. The Tanya Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. Omer that Rav Yonasan ben Yosef says v'chubas matamalomar. Shenis, it says in the pasuk v'chubas. Now we're talking about begodim that have nige begodim. Rashi points out it talks about bays. It talks about two launderings in the pasuk. It says v'chipsu es asher bo anaga v'zgiro. That first you have to wipe it down, and then you have to be sogaret, and then after that it says asher tichubas barishona, that you have to rinse it again. So makish tichbos ashniel tichbos as rishona. So it compares the second rinsing to the first rinsing. Matichbos as rishona ladas, just like the first rinsing is ladas. Aftichbos ashniel ladas. So to the second rinsing has to be ladas. So imal alon bilan das kohen afkam bina das kohen. Is that right? So you're going to say that it always requires das. Rinsing always requires das. So just like over there by the negatzaras, does it require das kohen? Tamalomar vitayer mikol makom. No, it doesn't require das koin, but it's going to require some sort of das. So you're going to ask a kasha on Rav Yochanan from all of these brises. No kasha, because Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. So says the. So we'll stop here. We're sort of in the middle of a conversation, but we'll pick up here. We'll pick up from this place tomorrow, and in the context of this year tomorrow, we'll see exactly what type of kavanah we need, as well as what in the world we were talking about when we spoke about the woman who went to the mikvah accidentally.